Good day, friends. We come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with our Bible open to the third chapter of Colossians, where we're going to deal with the subject, the new life. Before we get into this subject, let's spend a short period of time to go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy magnified presence with grateful hearts that you have spared our lives throughout another week. We are glad at this time, Father, that we can look to thy word for comfort, for consolation, and for advice and for instruction what is the will of the Lord. We have read in the scripture that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and we believe this, Father. We pray on the broadcast today for those who are ill. We pray for those wherever they might be in nursing homes, hospitals, convalescent homes. We trust thou will also be with those who are in sorrow this day. And we are mindful of the governments of the world, Father, in our prayer today. Be with the leaders of our country and the leaders of other countries. And may there be some way devised, Father, through the instrumentality of the preaching of the gospel and teaching it, that men of all nations may realize that thou truly art God. And thy plan is a plan that can teach men how to gain peace with thee and how to live in a peaceful manner with their fellow man. Help us in this broadcast today that thy name may be glorified. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. I want to talk to you about life today on the broadcast. In fact, we have a series coming up that we hope you'll be tuned in to hear that deals altogether with the subject of life. But I've turned to this Colossians, the third chapter here, as we offer practical preaching to you today to enlarge upon these outstanding verses. Listen to them as we read. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, or your mind, on things above, and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I believe the whole span is covered here in the first four verses of this third chapter of Colossians that deals with our life here and life hereafter. The life that he's talking about here is a life that begins with a so-called resurrection. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, how would it be possible for a person to be risen with Christ? This indicates a new life, doesn't it? You see, the old life has passed away. We are told in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we gave you on the broadcast last time, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we're talking about the spiritual life again on the broadcast today. After all, I think you're having an experience in your life each day with the physical aspect of life. But keep in mind the very one who made life possible has given us a set of priorities that sometimes are not realized in our lives today. I fear this to be true, friends. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This indicates to us that the spiritual life must be looked upon as being more vital. It must have a priority over the physical things of this life. But how many times do people have the thing turned around? They're seeking first the things of this life. If there's any time, any talent, any energy, any money left over, then they'll serve the Lord. But Jesus also said, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what could he give in exchange for his soul? This again indicates to us that the spiritual life must be considered of more value than the physical life. Don't misunderstand me as I talk to you today. I'm not telling you that your physical life is not vital, but I'm telling you that the physical life is as fragile as about anything we could think about. James made this clear when he answered the question, what is our life? In that fourth chapter, you can read it in your own Bible, when he said, it is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and soon vanisheth away. But you see, the spiritual life is altogether a different matter. When Paul made this statement, if ye then be risen with Christ, I believe he was talking about the very factor that when Christ came out of the grave, he came into an area of new life from the standpoint that Jesus would never have to die again. That's a wonderful point. And isn't an interesting factor as you walk about today in life, your physical aspects of life being before your mind in a paramount fashion, that you have within that physical body that perishes with using, you have within that physical body a spirit that is eternal. When the spirit actually is revived, so to speak, in our obedience to the gospel, and I talk about it being revived, because a man who is in the world of sin is actually dead in his trespasses and sins. Paul made that clear in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and verse 1, when he said, "He hath quickened us who were dead in our trespasses and sins." So you may be alive physically, but you can be dead spiritually. But you see, when actually you obey the gospel, being born of the water and the spirit that we talked about on the broadcast last time, then you become that proverbial and that outstanding new creature in Christ Jesus. When one is baptized into Christ, he's buried in baptism, according to the 6th chapter of Romans, in a likeness of Jesus' death, and he comes up out of that water in a likeness of his resurrection. This had been true of the Colossians to whom Paul was writing here in Colossians chapter 3. He said, "If ye then, or since ye have been risen with Christ," when were they risen with Christ? I believe when they came out of the water of baptism. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. They were baptized that their sins might be washed away. Remember that scripture in Acts 22:16? Paul the apostle, telling about his conversion, says, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." So one comes forth from baptism in a likeness of Jesus' resurrection. Now he never needs to die spiritually again. You see, even physical death that's going to come to his household will not alienate or separate him or divorce him from either the love of God or association with God. One good sister in Pennsylvania a good many years ago reminded me of a thought that's come down to my mind time and time again. She said, "You know, when one is born again, he never needs to die spiritually. He truly will be alive in Christ Jesus. And we're aware of the fact that he will get closer to Jesus and God even when physical death becomes a reality. For when we take that last breath, we understand that that spirit goes back to God who gave it. Now, if we have prepared ourselves to meet him, if we have been faithful unto death, if we have been born again, then we are in a situation where he truly can say to us, as Jesus said regarding the judgment, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, into the home that's prepared for those truly who have been faithful in Christ Jesus.' So may we say, as one is risen with Christ, he enters into the new life. But there is some living to do here upon this earth in the physical tabernacle that we have, and that's what the Christian life is all about. That's where we live for Christ, is in this life. So listen to the words of Paul now with that thought before your mind in this new life of being born again. Peter said, "Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." You read that in 1 Peter 1:23. "If ye then be risen, or since ye are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." The Christian is one person who can look up, not alone to the fact that God is truly in heaven, that Jesus Christ is a mediator, that he's on the right hand of God, but also that's going to be his home. Our citizenship, or conversation is the rendering that's found in the King James translation. Citizenship is what the word conversation means in that text. Our citizenship is in heaven. Also, Paul in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, in the 14th and 15th verses, talked about having a rejoicing that there was a family that was named in heaven and earth. He said, "I bow my knees to that family that's recognized, or the family that's in heaven and in earth." And how true that is. As the prayer that Jesus taught his apostles to pray can be a benefit to us, especially in that opening part, when we say as Christians, "Our Father who art in heaven." But since we seek those things which are above, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we're aware of the fact that we have Jesus Christ as our mediator upon the right hand of Almighty God. We can set our affection or our mind upon things above, not on things on the earth. I was talking to a man some time ago, and I thought it was an interesting conversation. He was telling me about some of his holdings that he had in a distant state from where he was presently living. And he said, "You know, I heard on the news the other day that a tornado came through that part of the country." He said, "I was concerned," and someone said to me, "Well, why should you be concerned, outside of the fact from humanity standpoint, of something that was happening like a tornado in a distant state?" Well, he said, "I have holdings there." You know, that's the way it is with heaven. We should seek first the things that are of righteousness, because that's where our treasure is. Our treasure is in heaven, and we're looking forward to the wonderful possession that we'll be able to gain someday. Well, it's difficult to find a stopping point on the subject of the new life, and that's why we're going to devote an entire series of 8 broadcasts, the Lord willing, that deals with how we handle the things in this new light. I want to thank the brethren for making this series possible. If you want a copy of the outlines, feel free to send them to the congregation or the station to which you're listening, or the congregation that's sponsoring this broadcast. Listen for the time of their services and plan to be there if you can. Why not tell a friend about this radio broadcast? They'll be listening along with you and your family the very next time. May God bless us as we obey that marvelous truth that is able to make us free to serve Him here and free to live with Him there.